Welcome to the PNR Podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Mike Proud, and today we're going to be discussing religion. So in the first episode, it was kind of an introduction to what the podcast is going to be about. And the second episode, it was the P and the PNR. And now we finally reached the R. And the fourth episode, well, I know what that's going to be, but you're going to have to tune in and find out. Although, I'll let you know at the end of this episode. But, you know, as I did with politics, I didn't want to get so... Like, it can be very ambiguous. It's a very broad thing to discuss. There's a lot to politics. And, of course, there is to religion, too. So that's why, you know, I want to specify... I'm going to specify it with this title. You expect me to believe that. Where I'm going to kind of discuss, you know, the unbelievable things that our religions kind of want us to believe. Mostly, though, well, not even mostly, at least in this episode, it's going to be, like, Judeo-Christian, because that's, you know, that's my religious background. So, I mean, there's other religions that do that, too. Like, Heaven's Gate is one that comes to mind, like, immediately, and Latter-day Saints. So, I mean, it seems like there's probably every religion... probably has, like, these really, like, fantastic tales where it's like, you expect me to believe that? And then, so, yeah, I'm gonna give it to my own religion today. I'm gonna talk about a few of the things that, these are all Old Testament things, but it's just things that you find, at, you know, the way back at the beginning, and you're just like, you know, like it says, you expect me to believe that? So, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm the worst Roman Catholic there ever was. Not because I'm the worst person who just happens to be Catholic, but I'm just bad at being a Catholic. And that's why I'm the worst Roman Catholic there ever was. I guess I care a little bit more than some other Catholics, though. So maybe I'm not the worst, but I'm pretty high ranking up there. I guess the only Catholics that are certainly worse than me are the ones that were doing some funny business. And, you know, I feel like the church has at least tried to clean that up through the last two popes or whatever. But yeah, I guess that's the only Catholics who are worse than me. Those bad priests who... Let's face it, how much of a good Christian are you if you're doing something like that anyway? So that's just, they can say they're Catholic or whatever, but that's just a bunch of bullshit. It's sort of like, I'll use a political example. How socialist is socialism if it turns in the, it's like perverted by communism? It ceased to be socialist at that point. So that's kind of how I view those priests, where it's like, you can't call yourself a Catholic or a Christian because, you know, even though we all make mistakes and we do sinful stuff and stuff like that, at that point, it's like, are you even being a Christian at that point? Because you're not doing it at all at that point. I think that's like one of the most reprehensible traits a human being can have. And... I don't want to get sidetracked in this big thing about pedophilia or whatever. I kind of look at it this way, and I'm going to be quick about it, where it's just like, okay, that's disgusting. And even if, you know, you're born that way, which you are, because that's just, it's not normal. That's just, it's something you're born with. Okay, that's fine as long as you don't act on it. Once you act on it, though, like, you know, molestation or rape or child porn or anything like that, then... That's unforgivable and it's inexcusable at that point, and you're just like, you're the fucking worst person ever, basically. You're up there with Hitler and Stalin. So, okay, like I said, I didn't want it to devolve into something like that, so I'll get back on my main point, though. Just basically, I'm a Catholic, went to catechism for a billion years, I did confirmation, I did... you know, you can't get the confirmation without First Communion. Did First Communion. Was lucky enough to be baptized. And, like, raised in that faith. I think it's good. I think religion's good. You get a lot of people that sandbag it. They're not even so much atheists. It's maybe just they're anti-religious. But anyways, you lump all those people that don't have beliefs or whatever. And a lot of them will at least respect your belief. They'll be like, oh, you know, that's fine that you believe that and I don't. And I'm you know, I'm the same way with them. It's like, that's, you know, I can't understand how you don't, but that's fine that you don't. Because, you know, in my religion, either you believe or you don't, but I'm not going to be the one that judges you for it. There's, at the end, there's going to be somebody else that does. And, you know, the atheists are probably laughing a little at this or whatever, and that's fine. But like I said, I mean, that's just, I respect them as much as they respect me, basically, where it's like, they don't understand how I believe, and I don't understand how their lack of belief, but they're okay with me, I'm okay with them. That's just, you know, freedom of religion, basically. Like I said, I'm Roman Catholic, and that's pretty much all there is to explain about it. I'm a Roman Catholic, and that's what's going on. I'm a very scientific Catholic, though, and that's maybe why when I get to the meat of this episode, I'm going to have such an easy time kind of, like, you know, talking about what I'm going to talk about. Because, I believe in things like carbon dating and evolution. And I don't know, that just like a lot of that's, I kind of understand the concept of religion, even if what I do believe is bullshit. I'll even say that too, like, I believe with all my heart in what I believe in, but I also acknowledge the possibility that I could be wrong. And it's not because I'm, like, agnostic or whatever. I feel like, you know, I could be wrong. And I'm still gonna believe what I believe, though. Because I don't have proof otherwise saying, you know, oh, you shouldn't be a Catholic or whatever. So until I obtain some sort of proof, and I'm not hunting for this proof, mind you, but until it's, like, some way presented to me, I'm gonna believe what I believe. And while we are discussing, agnostics or whatever, I think that's actually the most perfect belief you can have. It's sort of like James Randi. I'm not going to try to butcher his thoughts on it, but he said something. He's a skeptic dude, but well, he debunks skeptics. Like, he finds these con men and these skeptic. He's very skeptical about what they do or whatever. And he, because, oh, I have supernatural powers or whatever. He sets him up to fucking fail. And I love the guy for it. But, you know, that's what he does. So this was his thoughts on religion, though. He said, I can't prove or disprove with an experiment that, you know, God or any higher power exists. And then he said, even though I can't do that, I choose to be atheist. And I think that's an important thing to talk about, because as much as I choose to be a Catholic and believe what I believe or whatever, atheists or the anti-religious or whatever, they are also making a choice to not believe in a higher power or whatever. And that's why agnosticism is like the perfect philosophy, or, well, do you consider a religion at that point? Whatever. The point is, though, agnostic is the way to be. Because, like James Randi said, he can't prove or disprove a higher being through an experiment, through science. That's kind of where I stand on that, where I'm a fierce Roman Catholic, yet I understand that this could be just me wasting my time, and, you know, being agnostic is the correct thing to do. But as much as an atheist chooses not to believe, I'm going to choose to believe. So, one thing I'm missing during this pandemic is, this goes back to me saying, you know, being a Catholic works for me. I miss going to church, and I'm not a regular Charlie Church. Like, I don't I don't like going a lot, and I've barely gone to St. Patrick's, which is my parish here in town. I've barely gone to it, and I kind of miss that because I used to go frequently when I lived in Kansas. I used to go the chapel on base, and yeah, I used to go to Mass a lot there. I moved out to California, and the church on base was what it usually serves as on base, where it was just a center of, you know, oh, you got to the base, let's do briefs here. So, yeah, that's always pissed me off, by the way. Again, I don't want to sidetrack, but that's one thing I've always hated about the military is, I don't know, churches are just, they're kind of sacred to me. So when I get brought into a church to look at somebody's dick fucking covered in genital warts or whatever, yeah, that pisses me off a little bit. It's like, why can't we fucking do this somewhere else? Because I don't appreciate it. Not even just my religion. I feel like a place of worship, like a synagogue or a mosque or, you know, whatever you believe in, if that's like your sacred place and that's where you worship or whatever, you shouldn't sully it with bullshit like fucking briefings about what the whores in fucking Petersburg can give you or whatever base you're at. So that's always fucking pissed me off. But the army does not give a fuck. And they're going to continue that till the end of time. And I wish the chaplains would fucking grow some balls and step in and be like, hey, yeah, maybe you can hold these fucking disgusting briefs of yours somewhere else. But the army is just going to fucking, they do whatever they want. They always have. They always will. So, like I said, as much as it bothers me, though, I'm not even going out of my way to be like, oh, I got to put a stop to this. It just, like I said, it ticks me off a little. Big deal, though. I'll fucking get over it. I mean, I'm not a piece of iron, but I'll get over it. So, like I said, though, that, yeah, Catholicism works for me. And that's two things I want after this pandemic ends is A, to be a better Catholic, start going to church kind of regularly at least. And I mean, there'll have to be some weekends where I work or whatever, so I can't, but you get the gist of it. And, you know, if this podcast takes off, then I can go to church whenever the hell I want, which will be freaking outstanding. But so there's that, and then B, just kind of raise my kids to be better Catholics. I've really been super bad on that, so there's a lot of catching up they have to do as far as that goes. So that's me as a Catholic in a nutshell. Like I said, I was going to pick some stories apart back in the Old Testament. We're going to look at creation first. Okay, so you probably all know the Judeo-Christian. I say Judeo because even though the Jews came up with it, we accepted it. The only thing we do different than the Jews is Jesus. And I mean, there's a lot of other things too. But that's the main one. That's why there's two different religions. The guy came along, said, hey, I'm the Messiah that, you know, the prophets talked about or whatever. And then some Jews said yes, other Jews said no, and then we went from there. And there's still even some Jews today that are the messianic ones, so there you go. But, so, yeah, creation's the first one I'm going to destroy. You know, God created, he created the world in 6 days, or the universe, and then he rested on the seventh. And I kind of just look at that and be like, okay, how do you know that's what God did? You weren't there. How do you know that's, did God tell you that? God's told a lot of different things to a lot of different people, according to the Bible or the Old Testament or whatever. Did God tell you that, though? Did he say, oh, I did this on day one, I did this on day two, and so forth? And then the other thing that bothers me about the whole creation thing is Adam and Eve and all that insanity after. So it's because it's like, okay, you have this guy and you have this girl. And they fucked up by becoming smart. So you said, okay, you're going to get the fuck out of here. So they left or whatever. And then they have a family. And then, okay, where does the rest of people come from then? How do you explain from just these two people that humanity exists or whatever? How is that? People are so diverse. How? And then, okay, even if it's like some sort of just insane thing with incest or whatever, there was only two sons. So it's like, okay, where does the rest of humanity come from? God only talks about creating the man and the woman, and then they procreated and had two sons. Where does the rest of humanity come from? So that's why I kind of hate this story in the Bible, because it's like, how are you so sure that any of this is happening the way that you describe it, in Genesis or whatever? But I don't want to get sidetracked, but I find the super scientific Big Bang. Oh, that's, scientists are so sure. Oh, that's how the universe was created. The Big Bang. Well, I mean, it's not law, but a lot of scientists accept it as law, even though it is just a theory. But I have a problem with that too, because you're going to tell me that this little ball, well, that's particle actually, right? This little particle got super hot and fucking agitated. This particle just floating out in the ether, and one day it fucking exploded and everything's created. That is complete fucking nonsense. That's like is almost as stupid as the Genesis creation fable. Like, why does everybody accept that as like the way? I want these scientists to fucking just discard that. I want these really super smart scientists who believe that to discard it and actually just come up with something else. And not the fucking, the alien jizzed in the fucking ooze or whatever, and then everything was created. I want, like, a fucking, like, I want something that says, wow, okay, the Big Bang is bullshit. The fucking ooze story is just some pervert. And creation, I already believe they had it wrong, even though I believe in damn near everything else that you know, involves Christianity. So I want them to come up with something that just fucking blows my balls away. Like, I can't even dispute it when I hear it. Like, oh, I just want to be like, oh man, that is like fucking, that's 110% perfect. Like, I am totally with it. That's what I want to have happen, but it's not. Because it's just so much easier to say, oh, the Big Bang happened. Oh, moving on now. I'm gonna skip the time just a little bit. I got two other stories in the Bible I want to bring up, but I'm gonna skip the time too real quick. Why is it that the fiercest believers are like, oh, the earth is only like 6,000 years old, like there was Adam, and then there was Noah, and then there was Abraham. Yep, like 6,000 years old. That's all. That's as old as the world is. How fucking stupid do you think we? Like, you expect me to believe that when you know there's no way. First of all, that dinosaurs coexisted with any type of human. There's no way that would happen with primates. We couldn't have gotten to this point if we fucking coexisted with dinosaurs. Because even though we're a hell of a lot smarter than them, they're way stronger and more vicious than us. And I know some pretty bad motherfuckers, and a dinosaur, yep, is still meaner than they are. So you can just dispel it right there. You can be like, there's no way. Because they'll acknowledge that dinosaurs exist, but they'll also say, oh, well, dinosaurs, you know, old as the earth. And as old as humanity. And the humans, you know, the fucking asteroid didn't take them out. I got news for you. The asteroid didn't take us out, but we weren't around then. And yes, dinosaurs existed 66 million years ago. And the best to my knowledge, Earth is like 4.5, I think, billion years old. The universe is, the observable part is 14. I think. I'm pretty sure it's 14. So, yeah. Like, I don't know, just carbon dating. Like, being able to, like, you know, look at half-lives of fucking, like, elements or whatever and look back and be like, oh, okay, it's that old or whatever. So, Yeah, sorry, no. Like, I hate when you got these religious types suggesting something that fucking foolish. But moving on, because I wanted to talk about two more Bible stories in this episode. And like I said, maybe in the future, maybe I'll touch upon Heaven's Gate. I find that guy, Marshall Applewhite, I find him pretty interesting. Not somebody I admire particularly or want to be like, but an interesting fellow nonetheless. So on the Noah's Ark, here we go. You expect me to believe that, Noah's Ark, right? God's pissed off at his creation, understandably. And he says, you know what, let's fucking destroy all the humans. He had some really alien tendencies on this one. He said, let's destroy all humanity. Or not even let's, I'm going to, because I have the power. He saw one guy, though, before he did it. And it was this really nice guy named Noah. He told Noah, I'm going to give you a little bit of time. You got to build this ark. And it's got to be able to fit all these animals on it, right? And then I'm going to flood the earth. If you don't build the ark, you die. Your family dies. Everybody of your love dies. You're fucking... All these animals, they're dead. I'm going to destroy it all because I'm sick of the bullshit. Fair enough, mind you, too. I'm very misanthropic, but that's a podcast topic for a whole different day. Anyways, though, so Noah's like, oh, well, I don't want that to happen, so I better hop to it. So, yeah, he builds this ark or whatever to the way that God wants it. And then he gets two of every fucking animal and insect and whatever that ever existed to fucking go on the ark. I guess they had plenty of snacks because they rid the damn thing out. 40 days, 40 nights of rain. So then, yeah, the thing's over or whatever. The ark lands on fucking like Mount Olympus or something. I know it wasn't Greece. Just it's some mountain way far away from me. Anyways, though, so yeah, the ark lands on it. They disembark off the ark, and everything's cool. The animals start being fruitful and repopulating their species, their respective species, I should say. And so you expect me to believe that fucking two penguins from Antarctica fucking swam all the way to, like, Syria or wherever Noah was, and they got on this boat, and then, oh, they swam back to fucking Antarctica and then repopulated their entire species. And their species is so diverse. Oh, I guess that's just a miracle or whatever. That's complete fucking nonsense. Like, if you see how diverse, like, all species are, that's impossible. And what happened to the plant life and all? Like, there's trees that are, like, thousands upon thousands of years old, older than this tail or whatever. And, you know, they're also diverse, too, and they spread out. Why didn't the flood fucking take them the fuck out? Because a flood that destructive would have just, it would have wiped them out. It would have destroyed. General Sherman would have got fucking tugged up by his sequoia roots and pulled the way the hell out to the middle of the Pacific. So, okay. So why is, you know, why is, the mountains make sense. Okay. The mountains are going to stay there. But why is all this plant life, like, why does that still exist? And just like I said, going to what I just said, it's, life is so diverse. I mean, you can look at a million penguins and maybe they look the same to you, but trust me, there's a lot of diversity in there, actually. So why is it that life is so diverse, yet, you know, Noah only needed two penguins or two fucking deer or... and then how do they... okay, so even if it is true... Ark lands in the middle of the Middle East, whatever. They all get off. They get off that mountain or whatever. How are the species that are so specific to, like, each continent, how did they get back? So this is more than just even the penguins that can swim or the birds that can fly. How did a fucking, how did a North American grizzly bear, how the hell did that get back? Did it travel all the way through Asia over the Bering Strait or something? Actually, you know, I guess the Bering Strait existed back then because their fucking concept of time are all fucking warped. So, okay. Again, you expect me to believe that. You expect me to believe Noah's Ark. Okay. Now the last one. This is a quick one. I actually, out of all three tales, I like this one the most. It's kind of funny to me how this guy gets revenge. The guy I'm talking about is Samson. Now, if you don't know Samson, he had these parents. Again, I'm not some sort of, like, religious scholar. Excuse me, I gotta adjust my headphones a little bit. I'm not sort of, like, some sort of religious scholar or, you know, I'm just working off the best of what I remember from, you know, the billions of years I spent in catechism and reading the Bible at basic. So, okay, Samson had these parents, I guess, that were obsessed with him being super strong or whatever. So God said, okay, I'm going to make it happen, but he's going to have this one weakness. If his hair ever gets cut, that's the end of it. His strength goes away. And so they had the boy. They named him Samson, and he was super strong. And a lot of people were trying to figure out, like, hey, you know, what's this guy's weakness? So I don't really remember exactly how Delilah figured it out, but Delilah was this chick that he was shacking up with, and she was of a different culture than him. So she was actually precipitating his downfall. I think this is how this goes. She was kind of almost like working like an operative, like, oh, I'm going to sleep with him, whatever, and then I'm going to fucking figure out how to make him a wimp, and then I will be doing good things for my race or people or whatever. So, so he was hooking up with Delilah or whatever, and eventually she figured out somehow that's his hair. So one night while he was sleeping, they fucking cut his hair. And she was successful, and she reported it to her people. She's like, yeah, he's not strong anymore. I fucking figured it out. So these people ended up enslaving him. So Samson was a slave. I don't think they were Egyptian, though. But Samson was a slave anyways. They enslaved him. And all these years go by, and he's just like, he's not strong anymore. He's miserable. Finally, one day they chained him to the pillars. I think he got his strength back or something. Or maybe God took pity on him and gave him his strength back. I'm sorry, I don't remember that detail of the story. But, okay, here goes the ending, though, and this is why I like this. They chain him to these pillars at, like, this temple or whatever. They're having a festival, the people that enslaved him. So they chain him to the pillars, and he got his strength back somehow. And he said, okay, this is how I'm going to fucking get you bastards back. He fucking pulled the pillars down, and the temple complex or whatever fell on him and everybody else, and that's how he got his revenge, though. He fucking crushed this entire culture to death because he's like, I'm going to pay you rat bastards back. And that's just really, that's funny to me. So, again, though, I'm not going to believe that. That's ridiculous. They're strong people, but, you know, they're not strong through their hair. And, that's just a ridiculous story, and I'm not going to believe it, and it's foolish. So, I like the story because I think it's just a funny way to fucking kill your enemies. Even though he had to kill himself, that's just, it's funny to me that he pulled the pillars down, they all died. But yeah, that's the story of Samson. Like I said, I don't believe it because I don't care. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like probably the strongest person that there ever was. Maybe Lou Ferrigno, but even Arnold still beat him in all those competitions. So either way, though, you have two super jacked dudes, strong as there ever was. It's probably Schwarzenegger, Ferrigno, and then Hulk Hogan. Anyways, though, none of those three, even Arnold, could not pull down fucking two humongous marble columns that are attached to this big fucking portico that could fucking crush everybody. Like, it just, it didn't happen. So why even talk about it? And do you expect me to believe that? No, I don't. I don't believe it. And, you know, kind of wrapping up here, there's probably a ton more I can dig out of the Bible. And like I said, there's just, I don't know, there's a ton more. And we're going to end this episode right here with just those three. But I could probably talk about three more at another time. And, but like I said, though, every religion, I think it's like a rule of thumb for religion. You can find like these ridiculous stories. So today we're doing that. And, you know, next time we can do another religion. Because I think, like I said, you can go to every religion and say, hey, do you expect me to believe that? Okay, a couple things before I go. I just want to throw out a shout-out to my boy Helm for suggesting that Paul should go on the whiny bitch list. He's not. I already told him. I was tempted because he was insulting my boy Seinfeld, but I let it go. So shout-out to Helm, and shout-out to Jeff for finally finding some time in the GH to listen to me. Much appreciated, Jeff. Shout-out to you. And I'm going to throw out another shout-out to Jose San Antone, because that Seinfeld thing got me thinking. He kind of, he took what I said, kind of extrapolated it into something else, though, where he's like, you know, if there's a Seinfeld a podcast, it's going to be you, because you're not going to talk about the same thing every week. It's kind of like a podcast about nothing, because a lot of podcasts, it's like, well, damn near every one, actually. It's like, oh, find your niche and talk about that or whatever. And I already told you in the first episode, no way. No fucking way. It's not going to happen. I got to talk about something different. So, yeah, I just want to throw a shout out to Joey San Antone again, just to say, you know, thanks for the props on, you know, I'm going to keep the branding the same. But it did get me thinking, like, I should call this now the Signcast. And then the tagline would be a podcast about nothing. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. That was very cool. We're three deep now. And I feel like everything's going well as far as that. Like, I got to thank everybody for just listening. Basically, like, I got 200 for the first episode, and, like, I'm way over 250 now. On the second episode, I got an ad. I'm going to try to get a mid-roll and an end-of-episode ad, too. So, yeah, things are going well. And, you know, in the first episode, I said, regardless of the success I'm achieving with this, I'm going to do it because I enjoy it and it's fun. And I would hope to have this as my full-time job. I just got to make, like, I don't know, 3,000 or so an episode. Maybe even less, like, maybe 2,500. Maybe even two. I don't know. I just can't. Maybe even $2,000 an episode would. I think I could. $8,000 a month. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me, at least. Maybe not to a Saudi prince, but that's a lot of money to me. So yeah, I mean, there's gonna be a point where it's like, okay, I made this much money. I can definitely fucking quit my day job. So. But like I said, though, I'm going to reiterate one more time before I go. I was going to do this on, you know, a weekly basis regardless, or bi-weekly if, you know, my life outside of this gets way too hectic. But yeah, my goal is to definitely, you know, do this weekly, though, besides vacations, and because I enjoy it, and I think it would be a cool job to have. So that's who... You know, my three shout-outs go out to, and no one made the whiny bitch list this week. Maybe somebody will request it, because that's how I don't really want to call out anybody, especially my buddy, Paulie. Like, there's no way he's going to go on there unless he does something completely foul. Because that's, I just want people to be like, yeah, put me on the bitch list, and I'll be like, you fucking got it. So, yep, that was episode three. You expect me to believe that? And next week's episode it's going to be a very important one to me. And I'm going to be very serious about it. And I haven't decided if I'm just going to talk about this one thing or put other people's on blast. Right now, it's just the one thing. And like I said, it's going to be very serious. So episode 4 is going to be the Holocaust. You know, that's just how PNR is going to roll. Like, we're going to do controversial episodes sometimes. And sometimes we'll talk about some things that aren't so serious. I think politics is very serious right now. Religion certainly is, even though I just decided to blow up some of the stories in there. But, you know, I'm still coming at you with the serious stuff, because next week that's going to be the Holocaust. We're going to touch on that. And then, you know, you'll just have to tune into the Holocaust episode to find out what we're going to talk about after that. Because, like I said, I got a whole list. At least the first season is pretty much, you know, spoken for. So, of course, two things I want to do every time before I go. Maybe the transition will be smoother next time. But, I had discussed I wanted to do ALS stuff, sort of like akin to what Bob Barker did for the pets or whatever. So, like I said, my cause is ALS, and I'm going to put out the organization's name and website because I had their blessing. They are the ALS Association, and their web address is real simple, ALS.org. So Alpha Lima Sierra dot Oscar Romeo Golf. So ALS.org. I know Christmas time is coming up, so I don't really expect anybody to donate right now. But, you know, after when the new year begins, throw a couple bucks their way, because I want to get rid of this disease. It's a bullshit disease. There's a lot of bullshit and bad diseases, but this one, you really can't even live with it. It's worse than anything. So, yeah, dig deep if you can. ALS Association, ALS.org. And good night, Malcolm Butler, wherever you are.